With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost. Now, I feel like I need a drum roll because today my guest is 5-time Paralympic equestrian champion and 5-time European champion, Natasha Baker. She's going to share her story of reaching her dream from being a 10-year-old little girl that wanted to become a Paralympic champion to the day she met the Queen.
So it was really hard for me to keep a secret. I'm terrible at secrets. I just want to tell the world, especially when it's good news like that.
This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I am so excited about today's guest because I've been dying to speak to her for ages. Her name's Natasha Baker and she won gold at the Paralympic Games in Rio 2016, along with a whole heap of other gold medals, silver medals and championships. Natasha, how are you?
Hello, I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. My goodness, when I'm looking at our guests and I'm thinking, right, okay, how can I introduce them in the beginning? I normally take a couple of lines just to go, this is who they are. But your couple of lines, you have just done so incredibly well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I can't still quite believe it myself. It's all a little bit surreal.
Is it? Does it feel like that? Because Rio was nearly 2 years ago now. Does it still feel a bit of a dream?
Yeah, it really, really does. Like, you know, I can kind of shut my eyes and transport myself back to the London Games. But, you know, that was such a long time ago, 2 years ago. And time just goes so quickly. Like, I just can't believe it. And I think because we've always got a goal and we've always got a competition that we're striving to go to next, I think that's what makes time go so quickly. And like one games finishes and then you're already thinking about the next one. So I think, yeah, that's just why it just goes so quickly.
Let's just really take this into account. And this explains when you're talking about the next competition. In 2011, you got first and you won gold at the European Championships. But then for the rest of the year, you also got 2 golds at the European Championships, both in individual and freestyle. In 2012, you won 2 golds. In 2013, you won 3 golds. In 2014, you won gold. Every single year, you're winning a medal, 2 or 3 medals. For most people, winning one medal is the ultimate. And they aim and they strive for that their whole lives and they never get it. So for you to be repeatedly winning medals time and time again, how do you keep up with that momentum?
I just want to win more. I guess I'm just really, really greedy, maybe. But I love the feeling of standing on the podium. You know, I love the feeling of just going out into the arena and putting all of my hard work for that year into practice and showing the judges what I've been doing and hopefully getting the best out of my horse. And, you know, I think the medals are kind of like bonus, like the cherry on top, I guess. I just absolutely love competing and I'm so fortunate that I've had incredible horses and I've got really good relationships with them that I've been able to carry that on. But yeah, I just absolutely love competing.
Oh, what is it about it do you think that you love so much?
I've always had a passion for horses. Like growing up, my mum was horsey. I was brought up around horses on the family farm. I've always just wanted to be around them, and they've always come first over absolutely everything else. Like even growing up, I did everything that normal children do. I played the piano, I played the violin, I did swimming lessons, I went to brownies, and you know, everything kind of stopped for riding. Like if there was a chance of a riding lesson, I would give up all of the rest of it to go and ride. And I think that's always been in me. And I think the relationship that I have with my horses is incredibly special. Obviously, having a disability, I think you have to build up an even stronger partnership with the horses. I think, you know, because we can't move out of the way quickly, we have to change our aids slightly to be able to ride them. I think it's just those little things that create a stronger partnership. And I just love teaching them new things and working with them. And then the competing side, like if the Paralympics didn't exist and if para dressage didn't exist, I would still be riding. I just love it. Whereas the competition side, I am extremely competitive. I can't play board games without like arguing with my family. But you know, that side really appeals to me too.
Natasha, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, so you're still a baby, and you've achieved.
I don't feel like it.
you are, and to achieve so much so young is really quite incredible. When you can we talk about your disability?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
would you mind explaining what happened? Because you contracted a virus, didn't you, when you were a baby?
Yeah, so I was born able-bodied. I was actually born without a thyroid, which gave me a really low immune system. And so when I was 14 months old, I caught a virus called transverse myelitis, which they think is because of my lack of immune system. And it basically attacked the cells around my nerves and my spine. So in English, my nerves just crushed in my spine. So I have limited sensation in my legs. I have no sensation in my feet whatsoever. It kind of gets worse as it goes down. I have really bad balance. I can't really walk very long distances. I have to have a wheelchair or a scooter. I can't use my legs at all when I'm on a horse. So I have increased tone in my legs, which is what keeps me upright and able to walk short distances. But as soon as I'm on a horse, because my legs are hanging, they are useless.
Gosh, first of all, I don't even know how you deal with that, because I can't balance at the best of times on a horse, but let alone with having no balance. How do you, because all riding is about your core strength and is about balance. So how do you manage that?
Yeah, so I had an accident when I was I think I was about 10, and I fell off and my foot got stuck in the stirrup and I was dragged.
Oh, no.
And luckily I was uninjured and it wasn't too bad. But we decided from then on to just take my stirrups away because they were too dangerous. So ever since then, I guess from riding with no stirrups since I was like 9 or 10 years old, I've just built up a really, really strong core, and I do all of my riding without stirrups. So although I do have limited balance on a horse, I have, if somebody came along and poked me while I was standing up, I would be a sack of potatoes on the floor. Whereas on a horse, I think because I've got my leg either side and I am strong through my core, that's what keeps me upright. But I have a strap that goes from both D-rings on the front of my saddle. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but it's called my holy crap strap.
No, we've all got one of those. We've got one that you grab onto.
Exactly. And so I use that for my medium trots, because obviously they're quite bouncy. And if I lose my balance, I can just grab onto it quickly. But obviously I have had some falls, you know, but I would rather fall off quickly and, you know, quite easily, rather than getting stuck on because of a stirrup.
Absolutely. And that didn't traumatise you, being dragged with a stirrup?
No, I'm a bit of I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie. Honestly, I can't tell you how many times I've fallen off. And my mum always used to say you have to fall off 7 times and get back on 8 to become a good rider. Well, mm-hmm. I lost count after about 17, 18. So yeah, I you just get on with it. And you know, like you can walk out your front door and something could happen to you. You can't think like that, can you?
Absolutely. And how amazing is your mum to be allowing you to do this for so long at such a young age as well? Because it must be quite scary for her seeing her baby fall off a horse. It's hard for any parent, but I hate the word disability, Natasha. I really struggle with it because I think actually you are more capable and more able than most of us. In fact, I think I could learn loads from you in terms of taking my stirrups away and riding so softly and gently, and you really look at one with the horse.
Thank you.
But you're, you know, for coming from my mummy head, I'm thinking, it's hard enough when a baby falls off a horse anyway. At least they can roll out of the way, but you can't do that.
Yeah, I guess my mum always used to ride, and so she understands the risks involved. And, you know, I think she was really brave, I guess, to allow me to do it. But I think she realized that it was my passion and she maybe saw some talent in there. I don't know. But when I was 10, I said that I wanted to win a Paralympic gold medal. And I'm the kind of person that if I say something like that, like I have to achieve it. And so I think she realized that I was really dedicated and, you know, that was my dream. So she wanted to support me the whole way.
Oh, what an amazing lady. And she has. She is. And you've done it, which is great. And what about the rest of the family? Are they must be super supportive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so lucky. I have got the best family in the world. Obviously, I grew up on my grandparents' farm. So my nan, my granddad, unfortunately, is no longer with us. But my nan is so, so supportive, you know, both, you know, coming to look at the competitions and coming to watch me, but also helping me out on the money side of things as well. When my granddad was alive, he was taking me at the drop of a hat to riding sessions because I started at the RDA and I didn't have a regular slot. But because I lived so close, we basically said, look, if somebody doesn't turn up for their lesson, just call us and we will be there within 10 minutes. And my granddad literally just used to drop everything and take me for my riding lessons. So I'm so, so lucky that they're so supportive. And then my dad, he is like the chief trucker, and he takes me to all of my competitions. And yeah, he's the video man as well. And then my other half has now got involved as well. So yeah, I'm so lucky. It's a real family thing. And we've got liveries at home as well. And my mum and dad run the business side of things as well. So yeah, I'm so, so lucky. My dad wasn't horsey before he met my mum, and she's kind of made him horsey, I think.
She needs a medal because she's done well. Because most of them, they'll look at the horses and say, "Oh, they cost a lot of money, but I'm going to go and watch the football or something."
Yeah.
So for her to actually be able to get him involved in it is amazing.
I think he loves it. Like he's always said that he wanted a Bentley. He's massively into his cars, and every week they're watching the Formula One. Like they both really love it. And my dad used to race as well, so he's massively into his cars, and obviously being competitive as well. I stood no chance of not being competitive with my mum like that and my dad like that. He always said that if he had a boy that it would be a barn full of cars, but I'm a girl, so it's a barn full of horses.
Fair enough. And with, you mentioned the RDA, how instrumental have they been to your career?
Oh, massively. Like I wouldn't be where I am now if it wasn't for the RDA. I used to ride beforehand. So I started the RDA when I was about 8 or 9. And before that, I was just trying out any riding school because we didn't have a pony at home and my mum and dad didn't want to buy me one and then me find boys and be more interested in boys than horses. You know, they wanted to make sure that I was really dedicated to it. So they didn't want to buy me a horse. So I was basically like just trying to find anything to ride. And so they were taking me to riding schools, and obviously the horses didn't really know what to do because of my disability and not being able to use my leg. The riding instructors didn't really know what to do either. And then it was from having physiotherapy that my physio was like, look, why don't you just go to the RDA? And we had never heard of it. Obviously, it was a long time ago, like 20 years ago now. And so the RDA wasn't as big as it is now. And that's really what changed my life. And, you know, being able to ride the ponies that actually understood what I wanted them to do and having the instructors that understood my disability, it just kind of opened so many doors for me to realize that actually I could do this, and this could actually be something serious for me to do for the rest of my life. And that's when I started watching the Sydney Games in 2000 and discovered Paralympic dressage. And as they say, the rest is history.
I think the RDA look much bigger than they actually are.
Yeah.
And I think what's just so incredible, so fascinating, is that I'm such a believer for the RDA. I adore them. I think what they do is amazing. And I actually wish that they had more support, because you look at the RDA as a charity as a whole, and there's one kind of governing body. But when you go to the RDA centres, they're just riding schools. They're normal, everyday riding schools with everyday owners that give lessons both to able-bodied children and to RDA children. There's no extra government funding. There's no extra money anywhere. It's these riding schools. And what I love is the owners of the riding schools that really want to help, hence why they become an RDA centre as well.
Definitely.
Think that's what we don't get across enough, is there isn't this, like the British Horse Society or like, you know, FEI, there isn't a global body or a UK body for the RDA. It's just local livery yards that say, hey, you know, we've got some really safe horses. We've got great instructors that are prepared to learn. So this, I could rave on about it for ages, Natasha. The instructors now are learning, not just they already know how to teach riding, but it's like you said, it's a different way to ride. Your instructor didn't know how to teach you because you couldn't use your legs.
Yeah.
But also it's the psychology.
Definitely.
So now what I'm finding really inspirational is the RDA instructors are learning how to deal with autism, how to deal with the psychology behind what you're living through every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that?
Definitely. And every single RDA centre that I've been to, I've been so passionate about giving people the opportunity to ride. And a lot of the riders that are there using the horses and using the facilities wouldn't normally get the chance to ride. And it's not just about competition riding, but it's about the children and improving their social skills as well. You know, they can talk to horses where some of them can't speak to other people, and giving them that freedom to be able to communicate in their own way. And the horses don't judge them. The horses just accept them for who they are and welcome them into their little world. And the amount of help that that's given parents with autistic children or children with social disabilities is just enormous. And I wish that there was more opportunity for more people to be able to have that.
And they put us to shame, absolutely put us to shame, able-bodied people, because I've learned so much this year. One of the guys I've spoken to is Matthew Daly.
Have you met Matthew?
Yeah. I know he. Yeah. Oh, just love him. And he's deaf.
Yeah.
So what I learned from Matthew is that I need to close my mouth a little bit more. And my horse does not need to hear me going, hi, baby. How are you, baby? Walk on, baby. Trot on. You're doing really well. You know, I talk far too much because he hardly talks at all because he doesn't need to.
Yeah.
And he's jumping. He's a para jumper. And I'm thinking, gosh, Matthew, you're so... I mean, I feel sad that he's not going to be able to hear this. So I might subtitle it for him so that he can hear us talking.
Great idea.
Yeah, but like, how brave to be riding, you know, jumping anyway, but also when you can't hear what's around you. And I find for each Paralympian, for each person that goes to RDA, for each disability, as you call it, as able-bodied people, we can learn a lot from how you work with the horses, how you move with the horses, how you communicate with the horses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what you were saying about learning not to talk so much, there's always a way away, like around things. And, you know, that's the beauty of riding. There is no one correct way. Everybody can do it their own way and find a way to deal with things. And like, I actually probably go the other way, and I talk to my horses quite a lot because I can't use my legs, so they're all voice activated, as I call it, and so when I say trot, they know to trot, and I have little signals, tiny little noises. So I have a noise like for medium trot, and as soon as I make that noise like going onto a diagonal, that they know that that diagonal is for medium trot or medium canter. And you know, I have those little signals, and they don't have to be loud or anything, but you know, the amount of riders that I see that overuse their leg aids, I'm like, well, I can't use mine at all, and I still get my horse going forward. So it, you know, there is so much to learn. And you know, I love going and watching the Paralympics or watching just a normal para competition, because I just find it so inspiring. And I don't mean that to sound patronizing at all, but you know, I'm disabled as well, but there's so many people out there that just find their way of riding and doing things that I just think it is absolutely mind-blowing how accepting horses are and how incredible people can ride.
It's me. I'm totally with you. I'm absolutely inspired every time. How do you? Okay, so you were saying your medium trot is a noise.
Yeah.
But how do you get to that level? How do you get to the point where the horse knows that that's what you're asking him to do? Because a lot of it is training the horses to actually understand what the aid is in the beginning. And I, for one, that's what I struggle with, is getting him understanding what I want in the first place.
Yeah, so basically what I do is, because I don't use my legs, I do carry a whip. And so I would give a little tap on the whip so they would know that I would want them to go more forward. And then I use my voice as well. And my trainer does the same. My trainer rides my horses twice a week for 20 minutes. So she would give the conventional aid. So she would start at the beginning when I first get a new horse. She would start by using her legs, and she would also use her voice with that as well. So she would use the noise. But when I'm riding and on the lunge as well, whenever I want a horse to go more forward, I go, and then they start to very, very quickly learn that that means forward. And then with the medium trot, all I've got to do is activate the engine more from behind. So you half halt, you do that noise, so they sit, and then they push off into the medium trot.
Thank you for that. I'll be ching everywhere now. Come on. I'm not sure he'd still listen, but we'll give it a go. the other question, the other thought is the strength that you have to have. So when a horse is moving forward and they are in contact, they're very strong and very powerful. And as an able-bodied, I struggle to hold them. I struggle with the strength. How do you keep hold of them? How do you keep hold of that strength? Where does the strength come from? Because one slight movement and they'll pull you over.
Yeah, I think growing up, because I couldn't walk, I used to drag myself along using my upper body. So my upper body is actually ridiculously strong. I always say that I've got man arms. But obviously you're taught to have soft forearms when you're riding. You know, you don't want to have a strong contact back with the horse. And like, I like a bit of contact, but I don't like them too light. I think that I hate the feeling of not having anything at the end of the bit, you know, but also I don't want them pulling my arms out either. So, you know, that's really about getting them active behind so they can carry their own weight. But yeah, I definitely make sure I ride from my upper body like an able-bodied rider, make sure I have soft hands, soft forearms, and carry the weight in my shoulders.
So let's talk about dressage then, because that is your you know, I want to go, ah! the freestyle to music, what does that feel like for you?
Oh,
yeah.
It's my favourite. It's so weird, actually, because I actually got my new freestyle music for my new horse last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like really, really exciting. I'm riding it for the first time today. So I literally cannot wait. But I think because obviously in the straight tests, you just have to do what it says on the sheet of paper. You don't get any choice. You don't get any flexibility. Whereas in a freestyle, I obviously used to play the violin and the piano. I like to think of myself as slightly musical, although I didn't play the violin very well. And yeah, my mum and dad, that was not a good time for my mum and dad in their lives, because all they could hear from my bedroom was screeching. But anyway, I do like to think I am slightly musical. So that is definitely my favourite part of dressage. And I think you can play to your strengths, you can play to your horse's strengths, you can come up with a routine that really works for you, and then put beautiful music to it. And you know, I think everybody loves watching the freestyle events more so than the straight tests, because they are all slightly different, and I just think they're slightly more interesting.
They're creative. You can be creative with it. You can take everything that you've learned over the years, all the different movements, all the horses' movements, and I think it really is a show, and it's a show to demonstrate your partnership with your horse.
Absolutely.
So tell us about your horses, because they're so beautiful.
So I've got a new horse that came home in January. She is pretty much, so when I first, it took me a year to find her, pretty much. I lost my top horse, JP, at the beginning of 2017 to a bacterial infection, which absolutely broke my heart. It was literally the worst. Well, 27 was just the worst year ever. And yeah, it was devastating. But you kind of just have to move on, don't you? And like, I still think of him every day. He's literally in the picture behind my head right now. But yeah, I miss him so much. And to try and find a horse to fill his big, big, big shoes. Like, he won me 11 gold medals. You know, it's so hard to replace somebody that I had such a close connection with. And so it took me a really long time and a few failed bettings. And then I was emailing people in between Christmas and New Year. I messaged Emma from Mount St. John and just said, you know, do you have anything that might be suitable for me? I'm aiming at WEG this year, the World Games, and obviously at Tokyo. And she came back with a horse that was slightly too young. And then a couple of hours later, she messaged me and she was like, I think I found one. So I was like, okay. she's our top broodmare, so I would never sell her, but would you consider leasing? And I was like, definitely, if she's the right one. So made the little trek up to Yorkshire, and we wanted a gelding, but obviously from Mount St. John, the mares, chestnut mare. Luckily, she doesn't live up to the typical chestnut mare kind of stereotype, and she's called Diva. Just to, you know, put the cherry on top. But she is absolutely to die for, and I've only had her a few months, but already I can feel a connection like I had with JP, and I never thought I would find another horse that I had that JP connection with. She is so, so incredibly special. And I just can't wait to start getting out there. I've done 3 competitions on her so far, and I've won all 3 of them with really super percentages.
Oh,
so
well done.
We're actually going to Belgium next week, so I'm really excited for our first international.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my gosh, so it's so exciting. Really exciting times. New horse, new music.
Yep.
Oh my
So that's really cool. And then I have another young horse who's amazing. I bought him, well, Christian bought him, my owner, and Christian, I'm really lucky. He owned JP and my other mare, Suki. So I'm really lucky to have such a long-standing sponsor and owner. So he bought Freddie for me just after Rio as kind of a long-term project. He was only 5, and so he's 7 this year, and I haven't done a para competition with him yet. He was very green when we bought him. He had no muscle, but he was a very rough diamond. He had an incredible walk and a super trot that we could just see so much potential there. So he's actually gone to Christian's. We dropped him off there last week. So he is going to be there for the next month or so while I'm busy competing Diva and just doing lots of hacking and some schooling and everything while I'm busy and I can't give him the time that he needs. Mm. So I'm looking forward to getting him back. He's my snuggly bear. He is so cute.
I think there's a misconception with RDA horses that they just go around all day, every day, you know, they're just in the school, but they go hacking, they have normal, you know, exactly the same normal horse lives. It's just their personalities are safer, I'm presuming.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never bought a horse that's been ridden by another para rider. Obviously, at the RDA, they're very specialist horses who are very, very safe to be able to have new riders that have never ridden before. But some RDA centres do have competition horses as well. But all of the performance horses that I've bought, none of them have ever been ridden by paras. But you can just see that other kind of sixth element, if you like, something special that they possess that kind of just has that caring kind of attitude. And a bomb could go off next to Freddie and he'd be like, oh, did something just happen? Whereas Diva is, you know, she's a top competition horse, and there's definitely more about her, and you know, she has spooked, and you know, that's horses, they're not machines. And my other horse JP, he was incredibly sharp. You know, in Rio I had to take him down to the warm-up an hour and a half before my time, and he was just standing there taking it all in, and I had to do every single arena walk because, you know, I nearly fell off of him before my first test in Rio because he did a massive spook down the long side. And you know, he was incredibly sharp, but it was that relationship that I had with him that, you know, although he would do these big spooks, I only fell off of him twice in 8 years. Mm. So he was incredibly caring, and he would never do it on purpose, and he was genuinely a scaredy cat.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And it's sad, and I think you can't ever compare you get one horse in a lifetime, and you can't ever compare that horse.
No.
But what I hope that you'll gain from Diva is a new relationship, and it's probably
definitely
better that she's not a gelding, because then you can't, it stops that comparison. Because if they're exactly the same, then you go, oh well, JP wouldn't have done this, or JP wouldn't have done that, and actually it then stops your chances of growing a new relationship.
Whilst absolutely,
with Diva being quite different, you're more open to having a new relationship with her.
Definitely. And you know, I always think that every single horse is an individual. It's like us as people, you know, every single one, we have our own personalities, we have our own quirks, we have things that make us tick. And riding wise, she is so different to JP, but character wise, I can see quite a few similarities, which is really lovely. And, you know, she is such a special horse, and she has, I guess, the quality that they both possess is they both have an absolute heart of gold, and they want to work with me. Mm. And it's kind of like that. It sounds really silly, but it's like that love that you feel back from them. Like, I love JP with all of my heart, but I'm falling more and more in love with Diva every day. And she, obviously, when it's a new partnership, you that grows every day. And I really feel like I'm starting to feel that back from her now. Mm. And she whinnies at me when I go down, like, and she doesn't do that for anybody else. And I kind of feel like we've got that special bond starting to come that I had with JP, that I'm starting to get that now with her. So yeah, it's really, really exciting for the future.
I can see it in your eyes. It's making me a little bit emotional. I can see the love in your eyes that you have for her. And I'm going to have to say, Emma at Mount St John, I'm sorry, but I don't think you're going to be breeding from Diva for a really long time.
Well, no, we're doing embryo transfers. So, yeah, all is good. So she'll still be a mummy, but just not know about being a mummy.
Best so, way.
I know. I want to do this.
Me too. Can they hand this over to humans, please?
Yes, I know. Like, it would. I would carry on competing. It would be not that I'm ready for kids, FYI. but yeah, when the time comes, like, I need a surrogate mummy like Diva.
It would be perfect, wouldn't it?
It would. But no, once we get back from Belgium, after, like, at the end of this month, she's going to go and have a few embryos taken so she can carry on her breeding, which is really exciting. And she's had two foals this year already, and they look absolutely beautiful. So I'm going to have to arrange a time to go up to see Emma and to go and see the foals, because I'm a real sucker for a foal. They look gorgeous.
They'd be so lovely. And I know. The Mount St John horses are phenomenal. I mean,
I know.
It's just like Black Beauty in every colour, isn't it?
I know. I feel so lucky. And I literally, if Emma does listen to this, but I literally can't thank them enough for the opportunity that they've given me, because at the beginning of this year, after so many disasters with horse shopping, and I normally love horse shopping, but honestly, this time I've had so many issues to finally find Diva, who is absolutely perfect for me. But to have Mount St John on my side is such an honour, and I'm so, so lucky to be part of their team. So I feel like the luckiest girl in the world. I really, really do.
I'm thrilled for you, Natasha. Now, your first international this year is coming up at Belgium. But some of the other team went to Deauville in France, and they've been wiping the floor with everybody. So Heather Bennett, did she win?
She won in the freestyle, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I thought she did, because I think she came third one day and then she won the next day on the freestyle. And Sophie Christensen, she had a win as well on her new horse, Harry.
Yeah, she did. And Sophie Wells absolutely stormed it. I mean, she got like 77 in her straight test and over 80 in her freestyle. I think she got like three PBs. So she had an amazing trip out there. So yeah, it's so great. And especially with the ones with new horses like Sophie Christensen, it's so nice to see new partnerships coming through. And, you know, hopefully we can have a really good year and show the rest of the world what we're made of at WEG. But we've got to get selected first. That's the hard bit.
Is the selections, so was that what was happening at Deauville and at Belgium? These are the selection processes.
Yep. So we have three competitions that we have to compete in. So we had the Winter Championships earlier this year. I didn't have Diva in time to compete at those, but most of the other riders did those. And then we have Wellington, which is kind of in with the Premier League in June. So we have to do that. That's kind of like our semi-finals. Then we have Hartbury International, which is the Festival of Dressage, which is the first week in July. And then we have another international, Bishop Burton, which might be added to the mix as well. There was a few of us that were meant to be going out to Roosendaal in Holland, but unfortunately that's got cancelled. So it's looking like there might not be another international that we can go to. So I'm really, really glad that I put my name down to go to Belgium. Belgium, because I would like to have had the two abroad internationals, really, especially with a new horse. You know, you never know how they're going to travel, how they're going to come out the other side. So I'm really, really glad that I got in with a chance and put my entry in early enough to go to Belgium. So yeah, it's going to be quite an exciting year, and there are so many new partnerships. There's a few riders that have changed grades as well, so that is also another element. And it's going to be even harder this year because we've got to select a team of four as opposed to a team of five riders. It was five that went to Rio, it was four that went to the Europeans last year, and it's going to be four again for the World Games. But this year, myself, Sophie Christensen and Lee are back, whereas we all had a gap year last year. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really tough team to get selected for.
Because everybody's doing so well.
Yeah.
It's like you all had that year, because Heather Bennett had some time off because she needed another operation, and I think Tia needed a bit of recovery. And everybody has just gone, right, 2018, we are back with a bang. And like I said, wiping the floor with everybody. It's just incredible. So I think it's going to be an exciting year to watch the para dressage and para teams this year.
Definitely.
And so when, can we hear the music? Are we allowed to hear the music? Or is this top secret until the games?
No, you can. I don't know how I could get it so you can hear it because it's on my phone.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Just thought, no, we don't want to ruin the surprise. Is Belgium live streamed?
It is live streamed, yes. Well, it has been every other year, so I'm guessing it will be this year. So it's actually called Quadrille. They have a Facebook page and they're online. So yeah, I can send you the link and
we can
definitely
promote that.
You can
that
watch
would be
a
great.
Lot.
So then we can see Diva, we can see her first international, we can see hear your music, which I can't wait to listen to.
It's been composed especially for her as well. So it's a completely new original piece. Tom Hunt composed it, and like I listened to it last night, I got goosebumps, had a massive lump in my throat, and actually had a tear in my eye. So like it is really emotive. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Mm.
Can't wait to hear it. I'm so excited.
I just hope I don't cry coming down the centre line. I did that in Rio and I forgot. So I was, because it was my last ever competition on JP, and we decided that I was retiring him straight after. Because I knew it was my last ever competition and I knew it'd be my last ever ride on him, I was doing my last walk, movement before I go down the centre line. It was my free walk on a long rein. And I was crying so much, I forgot to pick my reins up before I went down the centre line. So I hope I don't do that again. It hasn't kind of got that meaning though. So at least this is my first rather than my last.
Yeah, but it could be relief. It could be relief and excitement that brings you to tears at the end
of
this one.
I am such a crybaby. Like the rest of the team will vouch for me. I cry at everything. I never used to be like this. I'm blaming it completely on my mum. But like there's Sophie Wells. We take the mickey out of each other because we are literally like chalk and cheese. We get on so, so well. And we've been really, really good friends growing up. But she's kind of hard as nails. Like she never cries. And I cry at everything. The national anthem plays, I cry. My friends win, I cry. Like I cry at everything. Like waterproof mascara is definitely needed for me in international.
It's the passion in you and it's the love for your sport and it the excitement
is.
Of what you do. It's
definitely
nice to be emotional.
I'm just a blubbering mess most of the time.
It's lovely to see Natasha. It's so nice to see. And you really are an inspiration. I'm sure you get told this all the time.
Oh, thank you.
Do you go to schools and things? I hear that you do talks sometimes.
I do, yes. I love that side of things. I try teaching and I'm no good at teaching at all. So I decide to kind of direct my passion into going to schools and doing after dinner speeches and that kind of thing. I love telling my story and I love inspiring people. And I've always said that, you know, if I can inspire one child or one person to go and follow their dreams like I did, then that's as good as me winning another gold medal.
That's so lovely. And I think you do, because I hear your name all over the place. People, you know, say, Natasha Baker, I want... In fact, loads of listeners have sent me messages asking me to speak to you.
Really?
So thank you. They'll be thrilled to be hearing your story.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you.
I forgot to say that you've got an MBE, Natasha.
I have.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's so weird. Like, so, so surreal.
What was that like for you when you got, did you get a call or did you have a letter? How does it work?
So we had a letter and we had to keep it quiet for a really long time. And I've got a really big mouth. So it was really hard for me to keep a secret. I'm terrible at secrets. Like, I just want to tell the world, especially when it's good news like that. Mm. So yeah, I had to keep it quiet for a really long time. And then it was announced, so it was on the New Year's honours list. So it was actually announced the day before my birthday, which was really cool.
Wow.
And we had a big dinner with my closest friends and family at home when it was announced publicly. And then I actually received my MBE on the 13th of February 2013. And you're allowed three other people to come with you. So my nan came and my mum and my dad. And I was the first out of all of the Olympians and Paralympians after London to have received my MBE. So that was really special. And I got the Queen.
Oh, you got to meet the Queen.
I got to meet the Queen. She gave me my MBE. It was probably the most surreal moment of my entire life. It was so, so strange. And she spoke to me for a really long time. And she was asking questions about how I found London. And I think because she's horsey, it came very naturally to her to ask all of the questions about my horse and everything. And yeah, it was really weird. It was like talking to a posh version of your nan.
Yeah, she is like that, isn't she? She's the country's granny.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. She was amazing. She's so tiny. So, so tiny. But I was so scared because they kind of teach you the protocol. And so you have to walk up and then walk like two or three steps forward. And then she invites you to shake her hand. And then she talks to you. And then you have to walk backwards. Now, I can barely walk forwards, let alone walking backwards. I was petrified that I was going to fall flat on my face and show my knickers off to the Queen the first time I meet her. But luckily that didn't happen. So I kind of took one step side backwards and then like went off sideways. So it was a very, very surreal day. But I feel really lucky. I've actually met the Queen a few times since. So I'm with BFFs now.
Have you really? Where did you meet her after that?
So they had a reception at Buckingham Palace after Rio as well. And so I was in the lineup to meet all of the royals, which was amazing because I got to meet Prince William and Prince Harry and Princess Catherine. And yeah, it was just insane, like really crazy. Wow.
Being in their house, and it's like an afternoon tea party. And I bet
I know.
Are they more relaxed because they're in their home? I mean, what were the princes like and Princess Catherine?
Oh, they were brilliant. They were so funny, especially Harry. You kind of expect that from him, don't you? But I hadn't met them. And so it was really, really nice for me to actually finally meet them. I'd been wanting to meet them for such a long time. And yeah, they were exactly how you'd expect them. They're so relaxed. And although it's the very formal event, obviously, but it was, they put you at ease. And I was so nervous because I think it must be because of my surname, but I was first in the lineup. So I literally, as the royals walked past, I was the first one that they saw, and I was so scared. Like, I was far more nervous then than going down the centre line at a Paralympic Games. Like,
what were you afraid of? Because actually it should be the other way around. They should be nervous to meet you because you've achieved so much. So actually, like, they're the royals and I love the royals, but what's there to be nervous of? They can't put you in prison for shaking a hand.
Because I thought I would mess it up. No, but I didn't want to look like an idiot. I thought, you know, it's ma'am, the same as jam. And yeah, you just, I didn't
really
want to get it wrong.
It's not mom.
Oh, is it ma'am? Oh, no. Now you've put, oh, I don't know now.
You better check before the next time you meet her.
Yeah. Yeah, I will, definitely. I think you're right. It is mom, isn't it?
I think so. Is it mom? Yeah, mom yeah. instead of mom. Jam, mom like jam. Yeah, or ham. Oh, who knows?
To be honest, they don't really mind if you get it too wrong, really. No. Like,
they've got to know that
fine,
we're commoners.
Yeah. we're human. We all make mistakes.
Well,
but yeah, no, it was really strange. And then I actually went another time to the Coronation Festival. This is actually quite a funny story. I was on my scooter, who's called Jordan, because she's bright pink. But anyway, I was going down one of the little pathways in her garden, and my scooter goes a full 6 miles an hour. And this guy came up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder and was like, excuse me, does your scooter go any faster? So I was like, I'm really sorry, I'm maxed out. And I was like, is everything okay? And he was like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's just that the Queen's following you in her golf buggy and wants to get past. So I was like, oh, okay. So I had to stop and let the Queen go past on her little golf buggy.
Oh, you should have caught a lift with her, Natasha.
I know, just hang on to the end.
Yeah, isn't that just amazing? So from that little 10-year-old girl that had a dream of being a, you know, Paralympian to winning gold medals, having tea with the Queen, meeting the whole royal family and being awarded an MBE. It's just amazing. Amazing.
So weird.
So weird. No, it's amazing. Not weird, Natasha. Amazing. And you've worked so hard for it. So you absolutely deserve it. And I'm just completely excited for you for this year.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you go because I know that you have lots of training to do, and Diva's ready for some cuddles and some carrots and a bit of training
time.
She is.
She's so greedy. She could literally eat a whole bag of carrots at a time, honestly. She's a true baker. I'm the same. Maybe not with carrots, but more chocolate, maybe.
Notice that your other half, he left as well at the point that we were talking about babies. That was quite, you know, coincidental.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he gets a bit scared.
That's him. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Your Twitter handles and your social handles, how can we follow you?
So all of my social handles are at NBakerPowerRider. So that's Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. I'm not amazing at Twitter. I will try and be better, I promise. But Instagram and Facebook are always updated. At NBakerPowerRider.
It's okay. Horse Hour's on everything. So whatever platform you use, just hashtag Horse Hour. We'd love to see some behind the scenes.
Yes.
Thanks, Natasha.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. As always, you can catch up with previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk. And of course, you can listen on Acast, on Stitcher, on Player FM. And very shortly, you will be able to hear the Horse Hour podcast on the Amazon Echo and the Alexa as well. So you can just sit in your lounge and say, hey, Alexa, play the Horse Hour podcast. And the latest episode will be playing straight away. So I'm really excited about this. I hope you've had a great bank holiday weekend playing with your ponies. Maybe you managed to get in a few rides. And how did you find the traumatic thunderstorms? Oh my goodness, I hate them. I mean, there's so many flies around and are the horses okay and worrying all the time. Tell us all about your weekend on Horse Hour tonight on Twitter. Just use hashtag Horse Hour. Tag us in your photos and your videos and on Instagram and Facebook too. I hope you have a really good time in the networking hour tonight and have a great week with your horse, and I'll speak to you next week.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag HorseHour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.